Thanks again for listening to the Book Club at 91.7 on WVXU and WMUB. I'm Mark Purcell. On the phone with me is Mark Tompkins. His new novel is The Last Days of Magic, and I will quote the dust cover here because I think it really sums it up nicely. It's an epic novel of magic and mysticism, Celts and fairies, mad kings and druids, and the goddess struggling to reign over magic's last outpost on the earth. Mark Tompkins, welcome to the Book Club at 91.7.
Thank you, Mark. Excited to talk to you about it.
Why don't you introduce listeners to the story in The Last Days of Magic, and then we'll start to dig a little deeper, because there's a lot of ground you cover in this, your first novel.
The Last Days of Magic takes the invasion of Ireland in the 14th century by Richard II and reimagines it as an attempt to drive magic out of Ireland, being the last place where it still exists naturally. And of course, the Roman Church had a great interest in derivative magic, so it can consolidate its control, so it's helping support the effort.
You cover biblical lore here, Irish mythology. You quote the Dead Sea Scrolls. Where did this story come from, Mark?
Well, it was an interesting trail. One of my favorite authors, Hannah Tinti, said that when she's writing, she just tries to think of the weirdest thing that could happen next. And I took that to heart, and I added another mantra to the table, which said, what if it's true? So it all started with this character by the name of Red Mary. Now, she is a very strong character in Irish lore that did anything that was required to protect her family and her estate, including some of the legends say witchcraft. And so I said, okay, what if it's true? What if you did perform witchcraft? And what if, instead of trying to protect her family, she was trying to protect all of Irish magic from the English? And then from there, it became clear that I just needed to know a lot more about Irish magic and went into researching all the old mythology behind it.
It's interesting. I found in some of the materials after I finished reading the book that there's, and I didn't realize till it was pointed out, there's not really that much history we know about the 14th century and that very turbulent time.
Well, that's correct. You've got to remember that we're just coming out of the worst of the Black Plague. And so a lot of records were lost. It hit, in particular, a lot of the areas that were dense in population, like the monasteries. So we lost a lot of people that could actually read and write English. So we're low on records, which is great for a novelist, because I've got these bright points of light where we have, you know, one document that says, you know, how many people did Richard II take to Ireland and how were they armed. But we've got all this space in between, which I can fill up with the old Irish mythology. Now, we're talking about the Irish mythology from pre-Disney, shall we say, when fairies were big, powerful people. They could ride a horse and hold a sword, and even quite passionate, would fall in love and marry and have children with humans. Therefore, they were clearly not the size of dragonflies.
Right. Clearly. I'm talking to Mark Tompkins about his novel, The Last Days of Magic. You can learn more about the book at wvxu.org. And all these different aspects, I can tell you as a reader, I mean, I was just eating this up, all the Irish mythology, you know, the fairies, the magic that's happening, the little intrigue that's going on behind the scenes, the secret emissaries from the Vatican and all that are throughout The Last Days of Magic. But I was curious how you kept track of it all, because there's real history happening here, so you kind of have a timeline that you have to follow, but you cover such a broad scope, Mark. I only could imagine a wall covered in Post-it notes keeping track of everything.
It started very similar to that. I got the huge piece of butcher paper and started mapping out all of these things. I had to actually resort to the computer to keep track of it eventually, but really enjoyed once I got into Irish mythology was there just so much of it that there was plenty to choose from. It became a process of narrowing down all of these different tales to one storyline. And what, you know, as an author, what I found particularly intriguing was I didn't really have to so much create this story as assemble it from all these old stories that already existed. And that was just a lot of fun to write, and I hope a lot of fun to read.
It was a lot of fun to read, and amusing when you run across characters that we do know from the 14th century. Geoffrey Chaucer shows up here in The Last Days of Magic. Joan of Arc. What was it like as you were putting together the story to include these little tidbits of historical figures?
Well, I was very lucky that the 14th century is such a crazy time. And when I was putting together research, I was researching a mercenary called Lord Hawkwood that had taken an assumed Italian name that the English had sent off to help restore the Vatican to Rome, and found out that Geoffrey Chaucer was his handler. And actually, Geoffrey Chaucer wrote his Canterbury Tales kind of on the side, and with a diplomat and some say a spy master at a day job. And so he actually based the characters in the Canterbury Tales on people he met in his job. For example, the knight in the Canterbury Tales was based on this mercenary that he was working with called Geoffrey Chaucer. So it was just very exciting to run across these links and be able to integrate them into the story.
Well, you mentioned the story of Red Mary. There's also St. Patrick's Bell that's included in The Last Days of Magic, how would you qualify St. Patrick's Bell?
I think of St. Patrick's Bell as being one of the two pieces that really started me on the train of this novel. The first, as I mentioned, was The Legend of Red Mary. And when I wanted to write about Ireland, you know, I had to go spend quite a bit of time there. And on the first trip, I went to St. Patrick's Museum in Argmouth, which is run by the National Museum System. And right there in front, in a glass case, was his bell. And it's called the Bell of the Blood. And it has the power of collection. Apparently, he cursed this bell so it would kill people if they didn't pay tithings to his church. And so I started to think, well, what if that's true? And what if not only could St. Patrick curse a bell, but he would, which meant that magic in Ireland existed, and it was a bit of a darker magic. So that really crystallized kind of the whole idea for the novel.
I haven't mentioned yet, you're from Texas, work out in Aspen, spend time in Boston, but you have Irish roots, and that's part of the driving force behind The Last Days of Magic too, right?
Certainly. My mother is Irish, and all of her family comes from Counties Clare and County Meath. And I was actually on a trip to Ireland with her when I was looking for a graveyard to photograph, and got hopelessly lost on the back roads of County Clare, which happened quite a bit, which is quite fun in Ireland.
You know, oh, yes.
Being lost half the time is a good way to explore Ireland, and ran across this little tower, and, you know, one of those places where you put a euro on the box out front and you wander in. And up on the wall was a frame, and inside that frame was the first time I had seen The Legend of Red Mary. It was written up in there, and that stayed with me for a lot of years. And so when I began to write the novel, I figured it had to have her in it. So I think a good novel starts with characters, and then the plot kind of grows from there.
I love a comment I read in one of your interviews about doing research, that how can I say what it's like to run through this street or cross this field if I haven't been there myself? Do you really believe in the research that much?
Definitely, particularly on-site research. You know, Ireland is such a magical place that it becomes a character in itself. And to accurately describe the look and feel of it, you have to be there. And then, since, you know, I love to travel, I wanted to put other locations in the book that had that same kind of strong character, you know, Venice, Rome, London, those type of places. But it's really impossible to describe them except from personal experience, in my opinion.
I'm speaking with Mark Tompkins. His first book is The Last Days of Magic. You can learn more about it at our website, wvxu.org. Find it in a nearby bookstore. I want to ask you, this is your first novel, but you are associated with the literary movement in Aspen, shall we say, Aspen Words. Talk about how you came to writing and what inspires you to write. And why now, Mark, for this first novel?
What brings someone to writing is a difficult question. And some people feel a compulsion to write stories, and I'm certainly one of those. In some way, it allows me to connect to another world and another time. You know, why now is can be another difficult question. You know, I've always loved to write, but I was told I couldn't write well in school. I have dyslexia. And so I think it was more, instead of why now, it's just more of a delayed, you know, until it was unavoidable, until I got to the point where I said, I'm not going to die having not written a novel. So I said, okay, graduate dyslexia, let's deal with that, and went to adult grammar classes for dyslexics. I took a lot of workshops until I felt like I could handle the writing side of telling the story. And then finally, it came together, and I was able to put together the time to produce the novel.
I wonder, you know, so many people say, I have a story inside me. I want to tell it, but I'm not feeling good about it. And it's interesting to hear all the different ways folks overcome that. And I'm glad you did, because the last days of magic here certainly opened up a whole new avenue of thought for me when it comes to magic and comes to religion and comes to so many other aspects of life. And I was curious as to why you put so much into the last days of magic. I mean, you do have the biblical lore, you have the Irish mythology, you have the magic, you know, the fairies. It there's a lot there, Mark. Boy, you put a lot on your plate.
Well, I'm the kind of person that when I read a story, I want to know all about it. Like, I couldn't just write about fairies in Ireland, even the times when the fairies were big people, as we mentioned, without knowing where they came from, and also without knowing what happened to them. So it basically had to stretch from day zero, you know, which in this particular case is the Garden of Eden, to today, because I wanted to know the entire scope of the fairies on Earth. And of the many origin myths of the fairies, or the she in Ireland, you know, I again went with, well, what's the strangest one? And the strangest one is that they're the product of angels and humans procreating, starting basically at the dark Garden of Eden and through the daughters of Eve. And this comes from Genesis, but it also comes from a number of the books found in the Dead Sea Scrolls. That's where those get looped in. So, and then that brought it all the way into kind of where are they today, what happened to them, how many, if any, still exist.
It's a fascinating story, and it covers so much history here. Did you find anything along the way that will lend itself to your next book, Mark?
What happened through this process was creating an entire magical world, which comes from taking, as you mentioned, the old mythology, not just of Ireland, but starting in Europe, and bringing it forward so that it's all still true in medieval Europe. All the magical beings in those stories are still there. So my goal is to continue to advance the story, to keep it fresh by taking it to new countries in Europe with their own mythos, and having the struggle between kind of modernism and mythology to continue to play out in Europe. So we'll see some more books using that same kind of theme.
Well, thank you for your time this morning, and thank you for the book, Mark.
Well, my great pleasure. Thank you for having me on, Mark.
Mark Tompkins, his novel is The Last Days of Magic. You can learn more about it at our website, wvxu.org. This is The Book Club at 91.7.